Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask today that you get your Bibles and get a notepad to take some notes, because I want to just talk to the men today. It is Men's Day, and I just want us to come closer as men, because men are needed in the body of Christ. Men are truly important in the body of Christ. And so today, I want you to get your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. And the word of the Lord reads, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Heavenly Father, I come to you now, thanking you for this opportunity to minister. But now, Lord, I cannot do this without you. I cannot do it unless you do it. I submit my will and myself to you, my entire being. Fill me with your spirit, fill me with your anointing, fill me with your word. When I speak, let them hear your voice. Let me sit down and you stand up in me, Lord, that everybody under the sound of my voice this morning will hear your voice and what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9 will be the foundation of what I really want to talk to the men about today. Even though it is focused on men, everybody should be able to walk away with something that will help them. I want to go, before I give you the title of today's message, is to now go over to the book of Psalms. Psalm 133 and 1. Psalm 133, beginning at 1, and I'll read all three verses. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore." And today, from these two passages of scripture, 1 Peter 3:8 through 9 and Psalm 133, I want to talk to the men today about brotherly love. Brotherly love. No matter where we are in life, we need each other. We need one another to survive. We need one another to grow in our secular lives. And we need one another in the body of Christ to grow to spiritual maturity. Brothers, we need to love one another. So much is going on in this world today. So many things are happening all at once. But as I say to people oftentimes, we can legislate laws, but we cannot legislate love. And until you love me, you will never do right by me. And how can I love except I have the love of Jesus Christ on the inside of me? And so today we must have brotherly love. I'm saying there is no one person that can go this road alone. We often hear from a sports perspective that there is no I in team. And we often look at the acronym TEAM, saying the meaning T-E-A-M, meaning together everyone accomplishes more. But I want to tell you that if we come together as brothers and work together as brothers and love one another as brothers, there is so much that can be accomplished. And I want to set the stage here that no man is an island, and you cannot get wherever you are today in life it was somebody else to help you. Let me put it this way. There can be nothing without the we. There can be nothing without the we. Understand that we are individuals, but without a we, there would be no I. As I often do, I like to make it plain. I'll use an example. You see, my wife and I, we have a son, Isaiah. But there would be no Isaiah unless there was a we, meaning that she and I came together as a we, as a team, to produce the individual. So the individual exists because of the collectiveness of the body. Even God in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, he did not need any help, but he understood the concept of unity. And he said, let us make man. Let us make man. Let us come together as one in love and make man, the collective body. Brothers, today I want you to understand that we must love one another. Because without the individual, there could be nothing. Listen at this. In my secular line of work, I talk about people and processes and the end components and outcomes. And what I teach oftentimes is that there could be no work unless there were two components. And work is comprised of two components, and that is people and processes. People plus processes equal works. To break it down, people plus process equals profits. So you can't have any profits. So if one does not exist, the outcome will not exist. What am I saying? We must be helpers to one another. And in today's society, we see that people are not being valued. We are not loving one another. Even if you have the best processes in your business and you say, I can do automation and I can virtually eliminate people, you're still going to need people to operate the machines. Where today we're looking at valuing politics over people, profits over people.
Brothers, we must value one another. We must love one another. We must be like God, because in John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He gave his only begotten son. He cared so much for the individual, for you and for me. He cared so much for us that he gave his best. He gave his son to die. And I want you to understand this, because I'm talking about brotherly love, because we have all of this going on talking about racial indifferences, but I want to tell you that God died for one race. That is mankind. He died for the human race. We may have differences in culture, and differences in color, but we are all one in the eyesight of God. Therefore, we must have brotherly love one towards one another. We are better together, because over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, you will find 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, you will find out that we need one another. We have multiple gifts. We have multiple talents. And I'm reminded of the passage of scripture that says we're collectively one. We need the eyes. We need the hands. We need the ears. We need one another, because without the eyes, we cannot see. Without the hands, we cannot pick up things and move. Without the mouth, we cannot talk. No matter what it is, no matter what each one of us does individually, we need to come together as brothers and love one another to accomplish anything. Am I my brother's keeper? Over in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, we find the story of Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, and he went and slew his brother. And God came to him and asked, "Where is your brother?" And in summary, he looked up to God and said, "I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? Should I know what he's doing at all times? Should I be there? Should I care for him?" But God himself knew that he had already killed his brother. He killed his brother out of spite, out of envy, out of jealousy, when he should have just come to his brother and asking him, "Why was your offering accepted and mine wasn't?" That would have been the right thing to do, the righteous thing to do. But yet, he was jealous. Yet he envied. So he slew his brother. And see, love does not kill. And we find so much killing and so many things going on and destruction one towards another today. Why? Because we don't have brotherly love. If we look at the story of Joseph, which is found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. You can read the entire story, but I'm going to give you just a portion of this. You see, Joseph was not liked by his brothers. They did not have any love towards him at all. They hated him so much they wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him. They sold him. But look at God, because as the song says, it's all God. They tried to get rid of him because they hated him, because of the dreams and because of the favoritism that was shown to him by his father. But I want you to see a component of brotherly love here, because when they sold him, he ended up being elevated to second in command in Egypt. And then there was a famine in the land, and his brothers were in need. They were dying. They were hungry. They had no place to go. But here is the man that they had sold, who they even told their father he was dead. He is in charge of all the rations for the entire land. And they go to him, and Joseph said to his brothers in chapter 45 of Genesis, verse 4, he said, "Come near to me I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Here we have compassion being shown, brotherly love. Man, y'all did me wrong. Y'all tried to kill me. Y'all threw me out. Y'all did so many things to me, but yet you are in need, and look at who you're coming to, and you don't even know. But look at what Joseph does in verse 11. Well, let's go up to verse 10 of chapter 45. He says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there I will nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. I want you to show this prime example of Jesus here. A brotherly love being demonstrated. Here his own flesh and blood wanted him dead. But then there came a famine in the land, and they didn't even know what to do. But God had raised up their brother to be second in command. And he could have been hateful. He could have put them to death. But he chose to love them. And I like what verse 11 says. He said, I'm going to put you in Goshen. But I want you to pay attention to this. He said, while you're in Goshen, there I will nourish thee. Brothers, we must nourish and love one another. This takes me back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And I want to explain that to you so you'll get an understanding of brotherly love. Be of one mind. Have compassion. Love as brethren. What is this saying? He's saying that we as brothers in Christ must be like-minded. And we must share the same ideas, the concepts. We must have a unity of heart collectively as one. We have to be an example, a piece of unity, of harmony. We must be sympathetic to the needs of one another. This is what this is talking about. We shouldn't speak bad about one another. No slander, no ill will, no harm. This is true brotherly love. And in this passage of scripture, when it uses the word love, because we in the English language, we use it for everything, but here it is talking about fraternal love, that love as a brother, that love as a sibling, a love that will have you to be there in that brother's time of need. Brotherly love. Because if you love me, you will do right by me. If you love me, you will do what's best for all of us. If you love me. And today, brothers, we must have love. Going back to Psalm 133, what is that talking about? When it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If we look at this nation, we see discord everywhere. One, it is talking about coming together as national unity. But that is superficial in nature, but we must come together collectively. But there must be a spiritual unity, which is the foundation of everything. Over in Amos, it says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Brothers, in order for us to walk together and love one another, we must agree on the same principles, the same books of the Bible. We must agree. There may be some differences, but we must agree. Even in the realm of business, if we're going to sign a contract or do a plan together, we must come together and agree on the outcomes, agree on the deliverables. There must be unity in order for there to be success. Then he says that the oil comes down. It ran down Aaron's beard. This symbolizes spiritual blessings. If we come together in unity, we will have spiritual blessings that will rain down upon us. And I love it when he says, as the dew of Hermon. You see, Mount Hermon provided water for the Jordan River by the melting of the snow. This is a symbol of a refreshing material blessing. Oh, look at God. When we have brotherly love, when we come together as one, we will not only have spiritual blessings, but we can have material blessings. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things worth one may edify one another. Talking to the men. Man, I know we like to compete by nature. We love to compete. But there's a time for that. But right now is the time that we follow after the things that make for peace and things that may edify one another. What is the scripture saying? We must come together collectively and build up one another, encourage one another. Christians must help Christians. What is this even saying, and how is this speaking to us today? Even from a secular perspective, you can see if you want to succeed, you must come together. That's why we have mergers of companies and acquisitions of companies. They try to come together to make things better. We must follow after things that will edify and build up one another. How do we do this? I love the word of God. I just want to teach today because, brothers, I feel in my spirit for things to change, for things to move. We must come together as one. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Here's that word again, building one another up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. As I stated earlier, Christ died for us. He gave up everything. But this is saying the strong must help the weak. This idea of bearing the infirmities gives the idea of carrying a pitcher or carrying a man. Bearing an obligation, meaning that we are obligated not to just put up with the weakness, but to help shoulder their burdens and show love for them. Let me make it plain. I'm working on my golf game, didn't hit any balls this Saturday. But the strong ought to help the weak. And man, we like to compete and we like to have fun. And we get out there on the golf course and we swing those clubs and a ball goes here, a ball hits the water. Oh, we're going to laugh at you. Oh, we're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. We're going to joke. You lose several balls. Oh, we're going to laugh because men love competition. But here, the thing about our coming together collectively when we play golf, not only do we laugh, but we edify. We say, man, yeah, that shot went in the water, but here's what you need to do. We give instruction. We give encouragement. Man, when we get on that next tee, you're going to do it. You're going to be all right. You're going to hit a good shot. You hit a bad one, we're going to laugh, but we're going to still correct you. This is a demonstration of showing brotherly love. We're going to help you because we want you to get good. We want you to get better so we can really compete. And then go at it with one another in love and have fun. So this is what it's saying, brothers. No matter what it is, we got to help one another. We've got to lift up one another in love. Go with me now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I need you, and you need me. What is this passage of scripture here saying as far as brotherly love? Let nothing be done through strife. Look on the things of others. Breaking it down, when we look at this word strife, it's talking about division against one another. It's talking about individualism, individual pride that pushes people for their own way. Their own way. Vainglory. It's talking about that personal pursuit, the motivation that prompts selfish ambition. You don't care about nobody but yourself. You don't care about anybody. At any expense, I'm going to do this. At all expenses, I'm going to do. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do it my way, but not if you love the brothers. Lowliness of mind. That means we must have died for us. We were wrong. We were in sin, but yet he died for us. He showed love for us. Joseph did the same. When I talked about him being in prison and everything he went through, he could have just cast his brothers away, but he showed love and had compassion on them. So Philippians is speaking to us saying, don't be selfish with what you have. Don't be selfish with your gifts. Don't be selfish with your talents. Teach one another. Help one another. We've got to come together, because if we don't come together as the house of God, nobody else is going to come together. How do we show brotherly love? I say that we must come together and pray for one another. Pray for the needs of that other brother. Men, I know we like to be tough. We like to say that we can do it all. We don't like to show much emotion. We don't like to cry. We don't like to break down because it shows insecurity. But I'm going to tell you one verse that everybody pretty much knows. And if you had to go around the table when you grew up to say a Bible verse after the end of the blessing, if you ain't have one, no other verse, people would say, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in about Jesus wept. So what am I saying? It's okay to cry, men. It's okay to show emotion, but we must do it collectively where we can encourage one another. Today we need brotherly love. Praying together, praying for one another. How else can we do this? We can have fellowship together, socialize, do things outside of church. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I mean, right now we're limited on the things that we can do, but we can fellowship and socialize. We can learn from one another. Our shirt, and even the shirt that I have on today, our Steel Forum shirt, says that iron sharpens iron. How else can we show brotherly love? We can teach one another. We can educate one another. Educate on the things that you know about. Teach on the subjects you know about. Help me where I'm weak. Help me to become stronger. Teach me some business concepts. I'm not saying give away your trade secrets, but what God has for you is for you. The more you help others, the more God will help you. We can teach one another. Over in the book of Luke, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Give what? Whatever it is that you have. If you give it, I guarantee you God will give it back to you more than you could ever imagine. That is brotherly love. Give love, you'll receive love. Give education, you'll receive education. Give compassion, you'll receive compassion. Give money, you'll receive money. Give a blessing, you'll receive a blessing. And guess what? As the old folks say, you can't beat God giving. Sometimes we always look to receive something from that man or that woman that we share, when we should really be looking for God. We should do things because we can. We should do things because they are spiritually motivated. We should do things to help one another. Hey, man, I'm going to do it. Wait, why are you doing it? Because I love you, brother. Because I love you. We should give them opportunities to grow. That's how we can help one another. Even in the world of business, when it comes to being a leader, in our secular lives. I often teach leaders and supervisors to delegate and to develop, give people opportunities. Sometimes they don't want more money, but if you give them an opportunity to grow, to develop, they become more of an extension of yourself. The greatest thing that could happen to a leader is to develop other leaders. So to show brotherly love, give them opportunities, help them to grow. Brothers, listen to one another. That's how we can show brotherly love. Women do it all the time. They have their little meetings and they talk. But men, we need to come together to talk about our issues, to hash out our issues, because sometimes only we can help resolve our issues by way of the Spirit of God. We must coach and counsel one another. That's how we can show brotherly love, coaching and counseling one another. Show brotherly love today. Share what you have, expecting nothing in return. Lift me up where I'm weak. Share what you have. Show compassion. Help me out in my time of need. And you say, Pastor, how is all of this relevant to us today? Cain asked the question to God. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. In a sense that we must help one another grow, correct one another where they're wrong, and help one another to stay healthy. Help one another to stay strong. I'm going to begin my close now to dwell on this concept of brotherly love when it comes to this concept of the coronavirus. I want us to see having brotherly love and compassion is what God says do. Because over in John 14 and 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And over in John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye love one another. How can I show brotherly love today in the midst of all of this? I can be my brother's keeper. I can keep you from getting the virus. I can help to keep you from getting sick. How can I do that? I can wear a mask. And I'm not being Republican. I'm not being Democrat. I'm not being independent. I'm not even being nonpartisan. I am not being political, because what I'm going to do right now is to be biblical, to show you that by the laws of the land, by the authority given to governments by Almighty God, that we should do what's in the best interest of our fellow man. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Get that for me. I want to share a quick story to bring this home. There was a woman, true story. There was a woman who was out getting some to-go food to take back to her family. And she was all covered up with a mask. Covered up in a mask. And she went to get a food, and there was another individual who didn't have on a mask or anything at all. And they looked at this woman and they said to this woman, you must really be concerned about that coronavirus. You must be really scared about that coronavirus. I'm paraphrasing here. You must be really scared. I'm not scared. I don't have on a mask. I got Jesus. I've got Jesus. And so I don't need to wear a mask. And this woman looked at him and said, even Jesus said we must obey the laws of the land. And in that story, before I get to Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, I want you to understand that even though we know God is able to heal us, we must not tempt the Lord our God. Satan came after Jesus after he came out of the wilderness and said, why don't you just throw yourself down? You know God's going to take care of you. He was quoting from the book of Psalms. He said, you know, God has given his angels charge over thee that they will pick you up lest you dash your feet against a stone. Just throw yourself down. You'll be all right. He'll send his angels. And Jesus came back to Satan and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Just because we know that God is a healer, he is Jehovah Rapha. Just because we know that he is able, we don't tempt him. So therefore, we must follow the laws of the land. And for your purpose and brotherly love, I want to show you these scriptures. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And Acts 4 and 19. In Romans 13, 1 through 7, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power to do that which is what? Good, and thou shalt have praise in of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That passage of scripture is saying that God ordains government. God ordains laws. This passage of scripture is giving an illustration of a soldier's absolute obedience to his superior officer. And this is relevant to civil authority that would require us to obey the laws of the land. If you love me, you'll help me stay healthy. If you love me, you will do that which is right. God has instituted several authorities on this earth. One is government, the other is church, the other is parents over children, and the other is masters over employees. As long as they are not violating scripture or violating the laws of God, we must, as Christians, show our obedience to God, show our love, and follow the laws of the land. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's the Bible. As free and not using your own liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Just because you don't want to wear a mask, don't do it maliciously. You're a servant of God. Verse 17, if you love me, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor those that have rule over us. Honor those who are in positions of authority. Honor your boss. Honor your supervisor. Honor those who have the rule over you. Brothers, I'm saying love. How can we have love? Show compassion. If you love me, you'll obey the laws of the land. But I want to show you this. In Acts chapter 4, this will be my final scripture. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. I gave you two scriptures that said that we must obey the laws of the land. Here in Acts chapter 4 and 19, it states that as long as the laws of the land do not conflict with the laws of God, you must obey them. But if at any time they contradict the laws of God, you must obey God rather than obeying men. So my brothers, I'm talking about brotherly love today and trying to make it plain. You got to love me. You got to help me out. You got to lift me up. You got to pray for me. We got to pray for one another. Teach, educate, help. Because without the people, there could be nothing. Without the individual, there could be nothing. If everybody died off and you were by yourself, you can do nothing. So with regard to brotherly love today and the situation that we're facing, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. According to the word of God, I should just go ahead and wear my mask. If you love me, Jesus said you keep his commandments. And today, brothers, it's all about brotherly love. Let us love one another today. Let us have compassion. Let us pray, fellowship, teach, give opportunities, listen, coach, and counsel. And share whatever it is that you have to build up your brother, expecting nothing in return from them, but everything from God, who sees your heart, who knows your motives, who knows your intent, and will bless you abundantly if you're obedient to his word. To all the men today, I say, I love you. If there's anything I can do to help you, I will. And that goes for the women as well. I was talking to the brethren today. To God be the glory.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.